A New Beginning, Part 8, The Church's One Foundation. Recently, we talked about the need to be people of the book. We talked about how God has called each of us to have a part in serving his church and building his kingdom on earth. But we can't build any way we please. We have to build according to the book, with Jesus himself and his teachings as the foundation. If we get the foundation right, we can build with confidence that what we build will last. And since we're talking about the foundation, let's look at what the Apostle Paul says about the church's foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:10. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says is our foundation and our only foundation, Jesus Christ. Then he says in verse 12, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, he's speaking figuratively here. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. Unquote. Jesus Christ, the church's one foundation. There have been many heresies over the course of the history of the church. Generally, these heresies all get Jesus wrong. That's what they have in common. Either the deity of Jesus is denied, or the humanity of Jesus is denied. Was he truly God in the flesh, as the scriptures declare? That is the question of most import. And in being so, was he half God and half man? Well, that would make him something less of either. No. He is 100% God as second person of the Holy Trinity, and yet, as he walked the face of the earth, he was also, at the same time, 100% man. Listen to what Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1. To give you the context, I'll read from verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now listen to what Paul says about this Jesus. Verse 15, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the visual image of he who is invisible. And then it says, Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he's head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Unquote. The image of the invisible God, the head of the church, and the one who has supremacy above all things. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews in chapter 1, verse 1 says. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Oh, just pause to take that in. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Well, you can't get any clearer declaration of his deity than that. Then it says, after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. There were deniers of this, even at the time of the early church. The Apostle John tells us this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Well, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. And the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2 tells us this. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Unquote. Well, the Pharisees denied that Jesus was the Son of God. The Ebionites were members of a Jewish sect that believed Jesus was the Messiah, but according to their understanding, the Messiah was merely a man. The Arians taught that Jesus was created. Docetism taught that Christ did not have a real or natural body during his life on earth, but only an apparent or phantom one. Pelagius taught that Jesus was just a good example for us, and we have no need for his atoning sacrifice because we are all capable of reaching perfection by human efforts. The creeds of the early Christian church, like the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, were born out of this conflict. The early church wanted to set the record straight in a way that would not be forgotten, because they couldn't be forgotten. For only the biblical Jesus has the power to save us from our sins, reconcile us to God, and take us to be with him in heaven. An imaginary Jesus has no authority to do that. But the good news is, as we find in Matthew 28, we see the real Jesus has this authority. All authority. Starting with verse 16, it says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." He had all authority before worlds began. He had all authority as he came to earth to live and die, to reconcile us to God. And he has all authority now, all authority in heaven, all authority on earth as head of the church. But notice what follows. He says, "All authority has been given to me, therefore," there's a therefore there. There's a response. There's a response Jesus is looking for from us. And it's not a suggestion. He says, "Therefore, go." Go do what? Go and make disciples, baptizing and teaching everything that he has commanded. In other words, go build his church, save the lost, serve his people. As Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my sheep. Take care of my lambs. Oh, let us be found doing so when he comes."
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.